two, three.
One, two.
You're my fucking music teacher. Hi guys, welcome back to Two Scottish Birds. This is a comedy podcast where we discuss everything that interests us, but kind of loosely tied around the subjects of dating and relationships from the point of view of two Scottish millennial females. I'm Felicity.
And I'm Megan. Hi.
Today we're talking about spirituality. But quite broadly, we go into all the different kind of the facets, and to be honest, we kind of focus more on what would be considered like the psychic services in the realm of spirituality, and going to the fact that we saw in a recent article, it's been like a really quite serious boom in consumption of these services over lockdown. So we just kind of like weigh in on our opinions over that, and what we think this means, and you know, whether we think it's harmful, and what the future you know, might be in this market.
Indeed, and then sharing a few anecdotes along the way, as always. Yeah, don't really take any of this on board. Neither one of us are experts in the subject, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, neither experts, but we had a lot to talk about. So yeah, and hopefully you find it interesting and enjoy our occasional tangents as well. Okay, welcome back, guys. Yeah, as we said, so today we're going to be talking about spirituality. And this is kind of off the back of a recent stat that came out that I was reading that said there's been, it was from Forbes magazine, saying there's been a 135% increase in supernatural consumerism over lockdown. And in fact, from 2018 to today, the psychic services have grown by 52%, which is insane, since 2018. It's now worth the same as the UK fruit and veg sector, which is ridiculous. So I just thought, like, I mean, nobody's talking about this. We need to talk about this. It's
a funny one. When you said it was like the same as the fruit and veg sector, all I could then think is like, wow, we're really doing a lot for obesity and healthy eating. Being outsold by psychic services.
Yeah, it's literally popping off. I feel I'm a TikTok user, which obviously is just full of Gen Z, and obviously, like I've said before, that I'm kind of into star signs, etc. So I probably have liked a few things, which means that my kind of the algorithm gives me that kind of content. But it does feel like a quite crazy the amount of you know, people that are like really deeply subscribing to this way of life. Megan, what do you have to say? What do you think about this? Like, why do you think this is happening? Like, to such an extreme, a 52% increase in 3 years.
It's like such a kind of funny question. I've always, I guess they're fun, like they're interesting things. But I think with lockdown and with like millennials and Gen Z or Z, the thing I always keep reading about these two generations is like they have a lack of purpose, or like they crave meaning in their lives. And I think everyone's having fucking just existential crises. I think that's what this is.
Yeah.
I think everyone's having just mental breakdowns about what does this mean, and then they're turning to these like mediums and psychics and whatever else, kind of searching for some sort of higher fucking purpose. When I'm just really like, no, sorry guys, you just, you know, you're born, you work, you die. It's not actually a grand design, but I think that's what it is. I think everyone kind of feels a bit wayward and out there, and they're all kind of seeking this like weird sort of approval or grand plan for their lives, and I'm just like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, well, do you think kind of like young people are perhaps sadder, to be honest? Like,
yeah, I mean, mental health stats are always on the up, I think. Yep. Definitely.
Yeah, young people are having less sex than ever before, and I think that they live their kind of their lives online, and I'm kind of grateful that I did kind of grow up in the MSN age, but not in the smartphone age.
Yeah.
And to an extent, like, you know, it's really hard being young. It's hard, you know, being at school and stuff. But you could kind of close your front door and that all ended, it all ended there. But like kids are just like constantly immersed in their kind of social bubbles because it's all kind of online and stuff.
True.
And actually, yes, even, I wonder,
even being like MSN generation, you know, dial up internet and stuff, it still wasn't the same as like you were chatting to MSN, but it was like chatting on MSN, but it was with all your friends. It was your friends that you've just come from seeing at school. Whereas like there was none of this putting images of yourself on social and like being judged or getting that kind of instant gratification from likes and stuff. Like that didn't exist on MSN. It was very much just a platform to have a conversation on. So I think that contributes to people feeling like lower, a bit more like lonely and sad. And that was a wee bit different. It originally felt like it was just more of a tool to connect to the internet, whereas now it feels very like microscopic lens in everybody's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it does seem to have like positives and negatives. Yeah. Like positives, and they're obviously more connected than ever before, but negatives in that it really does seem to be correlated to a like decrease mm-hmm. in young people's mental health. And so they are trying to balance this out by getting stuck into Wicca. and all the many services. So I guess like it would be a point here to kind of kind of define what psychic services are. I've taken this as to include things like astrology, mediums, psychics, fortune telling, law of attraction, human design, crystals, Wicca, the occult, mm-hmm. but perhaps not things like I feel like there's other kind of aspects of spirituality that
I feel like they're more associated with religion. Like I feel like some other aspects of spirituality sometimes stretch into the realms of like Buddhism, like meditation, like yeah. stuff that's a bit more that level, which yeah, we're not coming after religion in this episode, but like
yeah
yes, more like yeah, all the yeah. supernatural type stuff. Although in fairness, you could talk about law of attraction and human design like all in one episode, because they're almost I again like kind of liken them to astrology a little bit, but yes, all of those, you know, tarot card yeah. type things.
Law of attraction is a funny one, because I almost feel like, well, just what it's called, law of attraction, makes you think it might be a science. And like then physics. I don't know if you've watched
gravity.
Yeah, basically, it's a fundamental law. I don't know if you've watched. So basically, I think the law of attraction, one of the first kind of ways, I think it's been around for a long time, yeah. but one of the first kind of times when it had its first boom, there was this documentary called The Secret.
Oh my god, I've watched it. It's on Netflix. Yeah. It's still on Netflix.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, people are still watching it. It's yep. super old. Like, it must be like maybe early mm-hmm. noughties, late 90s. You can tell from the kind of golden glow.
Yeah, it's got Denzel Washington in it somewhere as well. Like, it's all those types really? Of actors too. Yeah, because they are all saying they believe in it. And I watched it after getting really drunk at a friend's house back in the day when we could do that. So she was like really drunkenly, as you do, getting into like a philosophical conversation, and she was telling me about it, and I never knew that she kind of really subscribed to that, because it hadn't come up in conversation. And she was like, yeah, you really need to watch this. And I did, and I actually do understand like the idea behind it and the premise of it. Personally, I think it could be like a placebo effect, like just where it's your actual perspective rather than an actual thing. But it is an interesting watch. I would recommend.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I guess that the idea of the law of attraction, as far as I understand it, is that you kind of have to act and live and believe that you have the things that you already want. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you also have to be kind of emitting like a positive vibe yeah. and be happy and stuff. And the mix of those two things, you know, it means that apparently the universe will give you anything that you want. Yeah. And they say literally anything. But I mean, if you kind of like, from a scientific point of view, the reason why that might be effective is probably because, you know, people who are confident and talk mm-hmm. like, you know, authentically about the things that they believe in tend to get buy-in mm-hmm. anyway. And then the, you know, being and people are attracted to positive and happy people as well. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see why it might have gained a following in people who like absolutely like buy into it, because it does make sense as to why that might work for a lot of mm-hmm. things.
And then for that one, like it is all about positivity and being positive and kind of manifesting these things. So, you know, from that way, I think even if it's not real, even if it's not a thing and it's just, you know, an idea, that can't really cause you any harm, because all it's encouraging is that you feel and act more positively. So I'm like, that's not really going to have a downside either way. It's not the worst thing to subscribe to.
Yeah, I guess it depends as to the extent, as to what, how much they believe the things that they, you know, you have to go around acting like you have what you want. Like, that could be a dangerously delusional, depending on how much you're like that. I can't think of a specific example, but yeah.
But that's yes. The only downside. Whereas what about the other bits and pieces? Like, in terms of what do you think the extent is to kind of using these services and really kind of using them as a guide and basis for your life, like some, whether they're harmful or not, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, like, as I was saying, it really depends as to literally how much you depend on them and subscribe to them and let them dictate your life. Like, like as I was saying, like the law of attraction could technically make you quite delusional. And again, there's quite a few you know, examples of people that have been totally scammed.
Oh my gosh,
by psychics, etc.
You told me this the other day and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, so I was trying to prepare for this podcast. We're now preparing for the podcast,
yes,
people. Yeah. And and I was looking up to see kind of examples of, you know, people who've been scammed by psychic services. And then I came across this, it was an article in GQ, and it had the headline being like, brainwashed by psychic, took $750,000 of my money. And I was like, well, here we go. And then I started reading it, and I was just kind of like, as I was going through it, I was like, oh my God, like, I think the scammer tried to do the same thing to me. So essentially what happened, I was in New York, literally 2012, 8-9 years ago. And I was just kind of, cutting about, seeing the city. And then I saw this sign that said psychic reading $5. And I was like, great.
just what I want.
Yeah, I know. So, and then I kind of went in and inquired, and I kind of thought it might be kind of like, you know, in the back of the bookshop or something, but it was really strange. This woman basically took me into her flat, like two stories upstairs, like into her flat and closed the door. And I was like, danger, danger. And then like sat me down, and then basically she proceeded to tell me that there was a curse on all the women in my family, and that to start the process of like undoing the curse, I had to pay her $200. And it was like, at that point, like I was just like, yeah, absolutely no. Like, and I'm interested in all this kind of stuff, but it's more from like an entertainment point of view. So that was just like, no. And I left. As I was reading this article, it was basically saying this woman had been on holiday in New York and had seen a psychic reading on, like, it was on like one of the main streets. Do you know what I mean? For $5, and had gone in. She said there was a curse on all her family. And then ultimately, she ended up losing out over a period of years, but close to $1 million.
That's so mental.
This woman trying to, yeah. The way it worked was actually she was asking for gold from her, and then was saying she was going to put the gold in like sacred places, like across the world, sacred deserts, and it was going to counteract the curse or whatnot. But as I was reading this, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe like what I think must be like the biggest scam and what's coming up on Google anyway. Like, I'm pretty sure
you were the target.
A potential victim.
See, but that's crazy to me, because to an extent I equally think, like, fair enough, you're probably preying someone who's vulnerable in some way there. Like, you were saying to me that woman had just like gotten divorced and was obviously in like an emotional state.
Yeah, but I forgot that bit.
I'm equally like, come the fuck on. At one point, there is a point where you need to take responsibility for how gullible and naive you've just been. It's like, really, you know, they're like, to get to that level of money and debt, I just think is insane. So, but that is an example of, yes, I guess something like being quite detrimental to you, like buying into that. And you know, it is one of those things.
Yeah, an example of like how vulnerable some people are and how gullible.
Yes.
And when it's a combination of vulnerability and gullible, it can really
and where they're just like obviously really desperate for some kind of answer or some kind of optimism. But so I suppose it's what you're willing to sacrifice or what you're willing to pay for some things, for some kind of clarity, whether it's true or false.
Yeah. I guess as I kind of touched on there, that I've already tried to get a psychic reading. Like, to what extent have you kind of engaged in these sort of services? Like, I feel like most people have pretty much looked up the horoscope. Everybody's looked up the horoscope. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what star sign they are, I think.
I like regularly read my horoscopes, just like when I'm a bit bored and stuff. Just because I find them entertaining, I take them all with a pinch of salt. I think horoscopes can be related, like applied to anyone, like in a situation in your life, you can find a bit of that that relates to you. So I just think they're kind of a bit light-hearted, kind of indulgence. And everyone's like, "Oh, read mine, read mine." Everybody likes a little bit of that. I think in terms of proper readings, I had a psychic night at my friend's house a few years back now, and this how many of us? There was like six or seven of us, and we were all getting. You could have the choice. Like he did medium type work as well, but I'm a bit like, there's not necessarily anyone on the other side I want to convene with, and equally, I'm a bit like, let them be. Like that's fine. I don't need to know what dead people are. I don't need to know what my dead relatives are judging me for. But so I just had like a fortune teller type thing, where they tell your future and read you and your personality, and I thought he was great. Like everybody thought he was great in terms of like he was so believable, but nothing he said came true. Like so, basically, I left the room and I didn't necessarily believe everything he said to me, but he was really great at building my confidence, meaning that like when I left the reading, I was really upbeat and really happy, and I was like, well, at the very least, I've left this feeling great about myself, and if that's all that amounts to, then that's fine. That's been like a fun experience. It's a story, and like I feel good. Whereas my one of my friends was pregnant at the time, and everything he predicted about the birth of that baby was wrong. So like, he said it was going to be a really easy birth, like really like natural, fine. She had a horrific labor, so it kind of disproved everything in the long run. But I think you need to be very aware going into this that like it could all be like a load of shit basically. It's someone just reading the room and reading your energy and like your body language and all this stuff and making a lot of assumptions. And then I had and this actually this would have been in lockdown, like really early lockdown number one. I listened to a podcast, oh, referred by you, funnily enough, called Saturn Return. And I guess like it's just really interesting podcast, but there's a lot of chat there about human design and the way you're made up, and it ties into astrology because it does do a lot with your birth chart and where you were born and timings and everything. And I did actually, I think out of just interest and also boredom and like just wanting something novel and something to do, I had a reading with like a human design woman in the first lockdown. And actually that one was a bit scary because that one was really spot on personality. And she wasn't predicting the future. She's just reading you as a person, how you should maybe like align your behaviors and beliefs and stuff. And like I could have listened to her talk about it all day. It was really fascinating. And like hit the nail on the head. Oh, have I actually acted and done anything that I should have done from that? No. But like for an hour it was fun. Basically.
So do you think all these things were kind of like worth the money, and either it was entertainment or actually it made you feel good about yourself? Because of the
I think it
optimism
depends.
inferred.
Like I would never overstretch myself to buy any of them, if that makes sense. If you happen to have disposable cash that you're not fussed about losing, a little bit like gambling, and it brings you some enjoyment, that's fine. I would never, people who've like over the years called like psychic hotlines or like done all this stuff and they spend like so much money on this stuff. I'm like, nah, for like a once in a while random treat or random thing to do, then that's where I'm at. Why not? But would I ever like regularly subscribe to this stuff? No. Would I have like a monthly reading? No. But because I just think it's you start to rely on it as well, and I'm always like, no, I would rather not have it actually inform like my decisions and choices, basically.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I'm definitely interested in it, but I would never invest in it more than I thought there was a at least a reasonable chance of me getting something out of
Yeah,
it.
true. I'm like more of an advocate for like if you want to invest in like therapy or something that's like a real some real self-work, not like so someone can tell you that because you're an Aries you have a bad temper.
No, true. I guess like on my point of view, from my experience of kind of like engaging with these services, I do as I'm quite interested in it. I think it's a mixture because I was born on Halloween, so I was always grown up. I grew up with people calling me like a little witch, and I grew up. My mum, I knew was quite into star signs, like not massively, but had an awareness about it. And would always like say I was like a little like a typical Scorpio. So I kind of grew up with like the language, etc. And then I just kind of got more into it. And I think it's rather than me seriously subscribing to it, like because I genuinely believe it and this is my faith. It's more kind of like just interesting, exciting, and to an extent I sometimes get a little bit like bored of the mundaneness of life. And just the idea of like just the notion of magic. It'd be amazing if it
was all true.
Yeah, I mean, how much, like, you know, I spent so much time watching movies and all, and this, you know, fantasy where this kind of stuff is real. So it's kind of like just like a little bit of the notion of it and the hope.
Do you realize though, maybe it's like fucking crazy and maybe it does exist and we're just muggles?
I mean, yeah, we could find like a parallel universe. And to be honest, like, have you ever, basically, Elon Musk, my favorite subject. I'm not going to go off on a complete tangent about
I think it's safe to say Elon Musk might feature in our future podcasts regularly.
I mean, that would be fucking amazing. Also, it would launch us, obviously. Okay, so he was obviously like a really famous inventor of products and services, and he said that what got him into becoming an entrepreneur was that he read a quote saying that technology is the closest that we'll ever get to magic, and that imagine if you kind of you were from 300 years ago and suddenly you arrived in this time and we're all doing this like amazing things with our phones, etc. And I guess like he's kind of like when he's like building stuff is really like obsessed with things that are improbable, like that he's building he's trying to build a starship to go to Mars and all that kind of stuff, which isn't actually impossible. It's just very hard and kind of the probability of being able to do it is quite low, but it's not impossible.
This is actually crazy. I went on a date recently. I mean, recently, what is recently in these times? But the last day I went on, this was, again, the guy who also loves Elon Musk that I said, maybe I should get you two together. but he is in the armed services, one of the services. And he, when he was banging on about Elon Musk, and I was kind of like half listening, was saying that there's this thing where they currently are building weapons to fight in space.
Wow.
And I was like, who the fuck are you fighting in space? Like, it's not the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, what is this? And he was like, basically, there'll be conflicts over satellites and stuff in the future. And, like, space doesn't really belong to anyone. It's a bit of a, like, you know, unknown. But they're currently building weapons to fight in space. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. I feel like I'm in a sci-fi movie.
This is actually so sad. It's so typical, like, human nature. Like, they don't very human have
greed,
technology.
Yes.
They don't
very
have
human greed.
Near. They don't have anywhere near the technology in order to like have that kind of full multi-planetary or like a really big space existence for humans. Yeah, they're already preparing with the weapons.
I know, but I'm genuinely like, why is anyone fucking arsed about fighting in space? Like, we're literally all dying of a pandemic. We have climate change and everything to tackle, but we're so concerned with fighting other countries in space, which nobody even lives in. Like, what is this? And like, sometimes I think life would be simpler back in like, you know, the day where everybody rode horses everywhere and, like, just had basic-ass lives.
Yeah. I mean, think the 90s. The 90s looked lit. I'm going to go back to, like, 1996, save Princess Diana, and just, like, push on from there. Like, that would be great.
It's fairly true. I mean, there was only a limited amount of time you could sit on your Nokia 3310 playing Snake. Like, none of this, like, falling down rabbit holes left, right and centre about Elon Musk.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, people only had, like, a normal interest in the spirituality and were not, like clinging on to it, obviously. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. No. So, but back to, back to psychics.
Back to the psychics.
Yeah. Although there's a wee future insight for everyone. There's, like, a spoiler alert. In another 10 years, we'll be fighting in space. There we go.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, I can't even imagine what the technology is going to be like. Even looking back at the early noughties and films and stuff, it transformed our lives.
So true.
Yeah. Well, we'll be anyway. So kind of what about like star signs, which is one that like, is quite one kind of psychic service is quite accessible to everyone. Like most people generally kind of like know their star signs. Some people are more invested than others. Me. to what extent do you kind of, like, I don't know, pay attention pay attention to it or have an, is it just kind of like you, maybe if you're like reading a magazine, come across a horoscope, you have a little read?
Yeah, I mean, I'll Google my horoscope, so I guess that's a little bit of effort. I will Google my horoscope. Probably done it more in lockdown, like whilst I'm browsing the Daily Mail and like avoiding my work, that I then Google like Aries daily horoscope. And I find myself in like star sign rabbit holes where when I find out someone's birthday that I'm dating, I'm then like, oh, I wonder what star sign that means they are. Although at this point I probably know, to be honest, like more like just based on month numbers, not like you, where you like judge from like things they've said or their behavior.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, if I know what month they fall in, I can gauge their what they probably are. So I can probably go as far as like just out of fun to see if we're compatible star sign wise on these like bullshit websites. And I do find it sometimes means I don't necessarily seek out, but if, like, if I had my choice on paper, I'd be like, yeah, give me a Leo.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I know we're high compatible like on star signs, and
I can see that.
Not saying that's true, but I'm like, this gives me like an added extra maybe here. Like I might have a boost from the universe that this is going to work. And I probably am good for knowing like my star sign traits and characteristics, because again, you like hearing about this shit. Like I've read these out for my friends and their star signs, and once you mention it, everybody wants to know what like relates to them. But I'm like, again, this is because we're just people and we're very self-indulgent, like we like talking about ourselves, it's the way it goes. But that's probably as far as I know. I don't know anything about like birth charts and like moon signs and houses, and I'm never that aware of, unless I see it on like a Insta story or that, about whether like Mercury's in retrograde or whatever's happening. So I don't know it to that level, but I'm happy to hear about it.
Yeah.
Basically.
I know, yeah, I'm the resident star sign expert here. I don't know anything like to the extent of like houses and nodes, and I do kind of I don't like plot like where the next Mercury retrograde is going to be, or and all those kind of retrogrades. But like I don't have like star charts in my room, etc. But I do kind of know like the, you know, with the fundamentals of like a birth chart, you have like a moon sign, a sun sign, and an ascending sign, and there's like a different kind of star sign that's attributed to each of these, and they kind of work together to, you know, present the person that you're supposed to be. But I do pay attention to them, certainly, and I think the reason is because yeah, as I said, I've had an awareness since I was young, because my mum is kind of, you know, knows a bit about them, and then I started to learn a bit more about them, and then I kind of started to notice that in a lot of romantic partnerships or friend groups that I know, more often than not, they are compatible mixes. So in like astrology, you basically have, you know, all the star signs, so like, you know, Aries, Taurus, Virgo, all of them, they are split into four groups: earth, air, water and fire. And then technically earth and water are good matches, and air and fire. And I just when I started to kind of like learn a bit more about it, like at school and uni, and then for fun I'd kind of like look up like a group of friends on Facebook to see what their birthdays were, and then just like romantic kind of couples and family members and stuff. And I just remember being absolutely shook, because really, like, more often than not, I did find that in the sample of people I know, that people tended to kind of group together in compatible ways. So that's when I kind of took an interest in it. And I do know the basics of it. I don't let it like dictate my life, even though you know, as we said before, like death to Gemini and stuff. Like I kind of use it as a way rather than to filter, like, you know, genuinely filter like who you know I might want to date or whatever. I kind of use it as a way to kind of look back and maybe kind of like look at that relationship in hindsight and maybe use astrology to be like, oh, that's why it didn't work out, and it brings me a bit of peace, etc. But I wouldn't actually genuinely like not like, you know, agree to go on a date with someone because they were Gemini. But I would I would definitely be like thinking like, fuck.
Yeah, we both now be hesitant. It's It's quite funny though, because I've right after we finished recording that episode, we were both like, I don't know any Geminis, like none of my close friends. I actually instantly then remembered that one of my oldest friends is a Gemini. Like I've known them for genuinely almost, it'll be 27 years this year I've known them. And I was like, oh fuck, I forgot about that. I was like, so let's go with Gemini men.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. We are different.
But no, it's a funny one. And when you say like friendship groups or people that are close all are similar signs, like I think typically I have no idea where like Aries stands with a Scorpio. I know in terms of relationships, it's not up there with like a good romantic match. Well, in terms of all these websites say, but what's interesting is you're a Scorpio, my mum's a Scorpio, and like somebody else in my life is a Scorpio as well. And like I really take to all of you.
Yeah.
Which is like a little bit different, but it's funny that you're all the exact same sign and like are within just a few days of each other,
Yeah,
actually, even
I was about to
birthday-wise.
say that. I was like, aren't we all early Scorpios? Because that's the thing. Obviously, I'm like,
Yeah, you're within literally, I think, 3 days of each other, roughly.
yeah, because
Very close
I'm well
together.
versed in like all the Scorpio information as well, because it's obviously my own sign. And they do say that like early Scorpios are a bit different to kind of November Scorpios, and ones are kind of later on into mid-November, and the sign before Scorpio is Libra.
It's Libra.
Yeah, and they're kind of
Yes.
more like kind of a bit more social and balanced, and whereas
Very
yeah, and I
balanced.
think that maybe seeps into the early Scorpios, where the ones later on are supposed to be are kind of like a bit more mysterious, as it were. That's yeah, actually that's one of like the main Scorpio traits, and that's one thing I definitely don't think that I have. Like I'm literally like an open book.
My mum literally loves that one of the Scorpio traits is like what is the word, like
Jealous,
vindictive kind
vengeful.
of.
Yeah.
She fucking loves
Yeah,
that.
me
Yeah.
too.
And what was that? I saw a plant reference the other day that was like, what plant are you based on your star sign? And the Scorpio was the snake plant. And I was
Yes.
like,
And I've never met a Scorpio person that doesn't like a Scorpio. Like, we are, yeah, the super villains, but we love it.
yes. Which is really funny because like I couldn't personally deem either of you to be like that because you're both so nice to me.
Yeah,
But
don't
I'm
wrong
like,
us. We'll come for
they're like, don't cross
you.
you. Yeah, like women scorned,
Yeah.
done. Whereas like I was fucking raging because my plant equivalent was a cactus. And I was
Really?
like, yeah, it makes sense, a bit
Oh,
defensive and
yeah.
spiky, but like super like resilient inside and like effective and organized and whatnot. But basically, like, yeah, don't get in a fight. We're a bit
Wait, sorry, is
prickly.
this
I was
like
like,
an
yeah,
article
okay.
online that links plants to star signs? Oh my
Yeah,
God.
it links plants. So it's basically, it's like, what plant are you? I'll need to
Yeah,
send you it.
absolutely.
Obviously, like the relevance here is like I have a side thing with plants, like work, not like a side thing,
Yeah,
like
plant
not
fetish.
like a plant fetish. I just mean I have like a like side hustle type thing that's like related to plants. Anyway, so yeah, it was like, what plant are you? And it was related to like all the star signs of the
Oh
zodiac.
yes, right, I love it. Okay, when we're looking at
But yeah.
that after finding out activities in lockdown.
I love like comparisons like that. I remember one of my favorite things someone sent me once was oh my God, I'm not going to be surprised if this was you. It was comparing men to types of bread.
No, but I definitely also read
Oh, it
it.
was great. It was basically like the emotionally unavailable guys like a bagel,
Yeah.
so like really great, but like the big hole in the middle,
Yeah, they were
like
expensive.
garlic bread was the fuck boy of men because like you know it's really bad for you, but it's just
Yeah.
so good. And yeah, I fucking loved it. It was like spot
Oh,
on.
love it.
So good.
God bless BuzzFeed and all those platforms.
Yeah, all the useless articles. No,
Yeah.
definitely. Definitely. So like, do you think you would like you'd quite happily get like a psychic reading or anything again, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, but it depends on the cost. As I said, like I wouldn't invest in something that I know is like, proven to be entertainment. But I do like, I like it and it's exciting. And I do have a lot of experiences, actually not myself. I've only had a couple done, but they're pretty budget. But one of my friends got one done in Australia like 10 years ago that was, like she spent a good amount on it and it was like quite long and it was all recorded and stuff. And 10 years plus later, it's scary the amount of stuff that is correct. For example, she guessed the name of her husband. She guessed the name of her, and at the time we were all laughing because her husband has the same name as someone who we were at school with, and we're like, lol, lol, as if we're going to marry him. And
Lo and behold.
yeah, and yeah, it's someone else, like called he was had the same name as him, and there was other things from it.
I love it. You're like anonymous.
Yeah.
Try not to say it. Do you think you would like say you got, this is actually interesting, say you got like a warning in a reading, like something to avoid, do you think even though we're like, oh yeah, I don't take it like fully seriously, would you like heed that? Because what's interesting is my mum had one so many years ago before I was born, but they pretty much said to her like not to get into a red car, like, or not to buy a red car because she'll write it off and it'll be like a serious accident where like she'd be really harmed. So like she has actually stuck to that her whole life and she's never bought a red car. And what's even worse is somehow that's been passed on to me, where even though I had nothing to do with the reading, she won't let me buy a red car.
Wow.
Like she just is like, nope, you can have like any color but red, or I'm not getting in it. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it wasn't my reading. But she has like stuck to that because she's like, well, why chance it?
Yeah, I guess, first of all, like, I've never really heard of many like psychic readings when they've said something. They're usually kind of optimistic because, you know, that's better for their business.
Because you don't want to pay them for bad news.
And then, I guess second, it's probably good advice. I did have a red car, but apparently you're more likely to get stopped by the police if you've got a red car.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, actually. Boy race a car, colour. So,
yeah, fair enough.
So no. And actually, I guess when you have something as broad as that, you have a lot of other colours. So, like, are you really going to miss out by not buying a red car? Like, better safe than sorry. I think that's how you see that.
I guess for me, it would depend. If, like, someone told me, the psychic told me, like, they thought, I think I should do something. It depends if I was already, like, leaning towards the answer anyway. And I'd just be like, well, she said it, I should do it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like if I was really not thinking about that or was wanting to do the exact opposite, I don't think that would persuade me. It's kind of like if I needed a little bit of extra ammo, I'd be like, yeah, she said it, so I'll do it. But
And what about mediums? Because I feel like psychics are one thing, and we talk about having your fortune told, and even like tarot readings and other stuff. Again, it largely involves your future. But what do you believe in terms of, I guess, ghosts, spirits, and like, can people talk to them? Like, would you, I know a lot of people that maybe are struggling with grief and stuff, this is where they could probably be kind of taken advantage of a little bit, where they're really craving closure or an answer. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in mediums?
With all the other kind of spiritual stuff, it's not like I really believe in them and would let them kind of dictate any part of my life. But I guess I'm in a fortunate place. I've never had anyone really close to me die that I would kind of be in that vulnerable situation of like desperately wanting to seek them out. But I guess at the same time, like from a psychological point of view, I reckon in some instances it might be helpful. Like if they are able to get closure, and if that helps them, then fair enough. But it's like a really slippery slope, and it's a really kind of like, obviously, like, you know, potentially unethical thing to be doing. But I've never kind of interacted with one. I've never had to.
Have you ever watched? It used to be on E, and it was, his name is like Tyler, and it's like a Hollywood medium. Like he was always like famous people he was going around to. I saw some episodes, I think back when I used to have E and I had Sky, and yeah, he does readings for all these famous people, all he does is like talking to someone who's passed. Like he doesn't tell your future or anything. It's always like a member of like their family or their friend or something. And it was interesting because he always seemed really spot on, but I was just always aware it was like
TV, you don't know
show.
To what extent it's like entertainment, so
yeah. And with famous people, much can you learn in advance if you know them? Do you know what I mean? Like it's all information online.
I guess that's a thing for like people who might have social media things, or you don't, they might you know, psychics might be able to get a good amount of information on you beforehand.
Yeah, no, definitely. So,
what about in the kind of the dating scene? We talked about like to what extent you would actually kind of like filter someone based on their star sign or whatever. What would you kind of would it put you off if a guy was you know really into spirituality, or at least kind of like we kind of defined before that like psychic services maybe don't include like parts of religion that might be considered spirituality, such as like Buddhism, etc. But if someone was like really subscribed to this way of life, to put you off?
I think I wouldn't mind if it was someone who was like the same level as me, where it was just like a dabbling interest and like just sort of like lighthearted, whatever. I think if he was like hardcore, like someone who was very into that, had like regular readings and also who based like decisions on it, I would be like, okay, this is a little bit much. Like, I'm not, you could be like totally in love, but you're gonna like throw me away because your psychic said that like an Aries isn't for you type thing. Then I'd be like, I have no time for this. So yeah, if you're making actual judgments based on that, I think absolutely not. And then interestingly, it's actually really hard to get out of your head, because that psychic that I did see a couple years ago said to me, he was actually very specific about the guy that he thinks I will end up with. Like, he was very specific in terms of like geographically where they were going to come from. He was very specific about their profession.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting, because I do still find that, like, if, for example, in the years since, if I've used dating apps and stuff, and I match with someone and they happen to be in one of these two professions, I find myself almost more optimistic about them than like a regular person. And I'm like, this is because this is like deep seated into my brain now, that like it's possible. So it's funny how easily it can seep into your mind. But I wouldn't ever write someone off for like not fulfilling one of those things he said, because like I said, everything else he said is wrong about like my various friends and stuff. So no, I wouldn't write someone off if they didn't fit that mold, or like if they were the wrong star sign, or like the same star sign as an ex or something. But equally, like, yeah, I don't think I'd want them to be too into this. Like, so same level as me, I think. What do you think, with your interest in like astrology and stuff, you'd like lean into someone who was like pure involved in it?
I don't know. Like, I think
no, that's my
I think
area.
I'm actually same as you. I wouldn't want someone that's like more like way more into than I am. I guess because that means that you've got different values and stuff. And like, I mean, kind of right back at you, would you kind of date someone that was very religious? You know, would that be?
I wouldn't, because like I have like no issue saying like I'm an atheist. Like, I don't really subscribe to any religion. Like, I think they bring a lot of comfort to people, and they've definitely got upsides, but like I would struggle. I know that I've not, from like the values point of view, and even when you think about just life in general and silly things like sex before marriage and all that stuff, like if I have seen people who on like apps say they're like proper Christian and stuff, like I don't match with them regardless of if I think they're attractive or not, because I'm just like, well, we're not aligned. Like, I blaspheme on the regular, as you can tell. I'm like, I really don't care about kind of words I say, and like there's a lot of issues that come with religion. I don't get involved in them. I'm like, no, I've got no time for that. So no judgment on their part, but like, I know it's not for me. So I guess that same thing, I'd happily entertain someone with some spiritual views, but who's not like a slave to their like customs and religion in any way. So I guess the exact same with this, someone who's not a total like slave to their horoscope.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that makes sense. It's kind of like all about like, yeah, having the same values and stuff. I guess.
Do you think though you'd get like, would you be into someone instantly on a date though if they could read your star sign? Like, if they were like to you, oh my god, you're such a Scorpio, do you think you would just die there in that moment?
It's funny
like, yes,
you say this actually happened to me. I mean, I've got actually no idea why I'm not married to this guy, because I kind of went on a date with him when I first came to London, and on paper he was like, you know, my type. We met on Hinge or something, and then we went for our first date, which was, you know, lovely. We were at an outside bar and coronavirus wasn't a thing. And anyway, I kind of I brought up soon into it, like just jokingly, that I was into star signs, and he was like, and by the way, just painting the picture here, the guy was like a rugby kind of physique. Then he said, he was like, oh wait, I'm gonna guess yours. And I was like, what? Like, he's not even replying, like not like poo-pooing what I said. He's telling me that he has a lot of knowledge on it by trying to say he's gonna guess mine. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, no. And then he said, no, wait a minute. Let's just continue the conversation. I want to learn a bit more about you, then I'll guess it. And I was like, oh my fucking god. And then he pops off like 10 minutes later, and he was like, I've got you. And he's like, Sagittarius. And I was like, no, wrongo. And then he was like, oh shit. And then he was like, okay, second go, you're an early Scorpio. And obviously I just said I'm an early Scorpio, and I was like, and what are the fucking chances that not only not only is it a Scorpio, he may as well have said I was a Scorpio first. Wait,
he got the early. He
got like an early one. And bear in mind, there's 12 signs. I was just like, oh my God. And it turns out he's an early Scorpio as well. So there we go. And yeah, I can't stress enough that this guy was like a rugby kind of guy, like just really not what you think. Anyway, and yeah, we had a really good date, and then I don't know why I didn't like one second one.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. I fucked it up. Like, who was the one? Right. Basically, I think what it was is I was literally new to London, and this was like the second date I'd been on, like a couple of weeks in, and I just didn't want to like. Suddenly, I guess there was so much candy in the candy shop. And so I just was like, and then and now it's like a year and a half's gone, and it's just I think it's too late. But anyway, so I certainly was not put off by him. And I thought it was really cool.
If you still had his number, you should keep an eye on your daily horoscope and drop him a line. It's a good opener. He'll be bored. It's locked down.
It's been literally
no one has anything
a year
to do.
And a half. More.
I just like keep an eye out for the next week on like a good daily horoscope. And if you get a really good one that's like a some sort of, I don't know what it might say, you should just ping him it. I listened to a podcast the other day and it actually had nothing to do with dating. It was about money. You know the same one. You told me to listen to it. And she was saying that she thought like a really good follow-up to a date was to send someone an article. And I was like, I've never done that. But like a point of reference of something. But I'm just thinking, if you share a star sign, you share a horoscope, maybe there'll be a good one in there that's just like a little nugget you can just drop his way. I mean, guys do it to girls all the time, like drop into their DMs and stuff after like months on end. Guy did it to me the other week. And I was like, I don't know, fuck it. Went on one date with him. I've not spoken to him since. And it was like 8 months ago, minimum. Like it was summer last year because we were outside and it was like really, and I was like, what the fuck? I forgot you even existed. But he had no shame in doing that.
Do you remember, so guys, I got a text from somebody a few months ago. This is the most, like, I need to do a whole episode on people appearing from the dead. I think it's called zombieing, when they come back from the dead. This is the most ridiculous thing that has ever happened in my inbox. I was at a festival 4 years ago, 2016.
Oh my god, this guy.
Four and a half years ago. Okay. And at one point I had a cigarette next to this one guy. We weren't chatting in a romantic way. I literally was just talking to him and somehow like we got each other's Snapchat he basically had his number and we never messaged. I mean, I don't really delete my WhatsApp chat, so there was no historical chat, and he messaged me.
You delete nothing from the things that you can send me for points of reference. You literally have not removed a single thing from your phone since 2010.
Everything's categorized. Like, guys, if you say so, I've got the screenshots for everything. For everything.
You do.
Anyway, and then this guy messaged me 4.5 years later, just recently, being like, and at 2 a.m. mm-hmm. in the morning, being like, "Hey, how's things?" And I was like. Yeah,
at 2 a.m. there's only one thing that he wants.
No, and I ended up messaging him back, being like, and I was like, wow. And I was like, did I meet you at that festival 4.5 years ago? And he was like, yeah, that's me, that's the one. And I was like, yeah.
You clearly made an impression.
And I was just came out with it, and I was like, oh, can I ask, like, have you just got out of a relationship? Because the only thing that can lead someone to someone's inbox at 2 a.m. 4 years later is trauma. And he was like, yeah, you guessed it. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Stick with it.
It's so true. It's actually so funny you bring this up today, though, because genuinely, today, I'm like not terribly active on Hinge, but it's the one app that I've left in operation on my phone. It's just there in the background. And today I got a notification being like, oh, so-and-so likes you. And I was like, a bit bored at work. So I was like, oh, who's this? Let's have a nosy. Someone I went to high school with, and genuinely, the last time I saw this person was easily 10 years ago in
Club
what
Earth.
Used to be Club Earth, if you're from Livingston. Yeah, if you're from Livingston, you know, if you know, you know. And I was thinking back, and I was like, the last time I saw this guy, I think I was like 19, absolutely out of my face drunk, like ridiculously drunk. It was a Halloween night at Club Earth, and I was dressed as a ladybird. And like fell on his face while I was exiting the club, basically. When I say fell on his face, like it was a disco wench pretty much, but like that really impulsive one where I don't think we actually spoke to words, and it just was like quick snog, and then I left the building. I was on my way home. I was far too drunk. Like, I literally passed out at the foot of my bed when I got in. And I think that's my last memory of him.
That's
And I'm like,
red.
he was cropped off on my hinge. And, like, fair enough to him, like, brave. That's a risk when someone you went to school with and you know to, like, send them a like and it not be reciprocated. That's a lot. But I was just like, oh my god, how do things come back around? It's such a small world. Like,
yeah,
you can't deal with it. And you were like, yeah, we need borders to
yeah,
open.
yeah,
Toronto.
no.
I'm like, yes, we
It's
do.
I guess it's a small, the dating pool is obviously getting smaller as well. Like,
Getting smaller.
But yeah, I think we definitely need to do an episode
Yes.
on people
But no.
zombieing, coming back from the dead. There's just far too many examples.
True. There are. And then actually we can combine it with the chat we've had recently about really weird cyber relationships that you get into without meaning to. I won't like spoiler, I'm not gonna give the details now, but yeah, between us
No,
we've got
for
a good
sure. And
few.
there must be others out there, so maybe people will
Yeah.
come forward. Well, I guess a bit of a
Indeed.
link there. You're talking about Club Earth and Livingston. Did you know that they are 60,000 pagans in the UK, which is the same as the population of Livingston? Like, just in the UK? Yeah.
Oh my god. Also, I need you to define this for me. Pagan. My version of pagans in my head, it's like I've been watching Vikings on Amazon Prime. And like they talk about pagans because like they refer to the Vikings as pagan because they're not Catholic, basically. So like in the realm of what is Vikings on Amazon Prime, you have like they're setting up what is England, basically. And like Wessex and all this jazz. I'm not going to get too into it in case no one's a fan. But they refer to the Vikings and like the Danes as pagan because they don't subscribe to Catholicism. Nowadays, what is if you're a pagan, what are you?
I
Like,
kind
what
of took
actually
it to be as like a really really old way, a really old faith where you kind of worship like the nature and the natural world and.
Yeah, because Vikings had gods, like, proper, they had a variation of gods, didn't they? Not, like, are they the Norse gods? Or, like, they had different, they did worship various gods, whereas the whole point in, when they set up Catholicism was that you had one god, and you subscribed to just the one god that we
Just
have
in a
now,
quick
I guess.
Google, and I think there's, like, yeah.
Google before we spout off an awful lot of
And I
shit
think
about
pagan
religion that we don't
idols
know.
is a thing, so perhaps, like, it was they're called idols, but there's lots of things that in our society that kind of come from paganism originally. Like Halloween, kind of dates back to a pagan festival called Samhain.
Oh yeah, okay.
I think a lot of things that like the kind of the parts of the year, like the longest day of the year and the shorter days of the year. You know, there's kind of points in the year where people celebrate. That is kind of goes back to paganism, I think, but.
So strange though, who knew that that was like raving these days. What's also really hilarious, side note, is that Club Earth, from the last time I drove past it, has actually become some sort
No
of
way!
weird new
What a
age
link!
church. Yeah. Yeah. So like, have you ever watched Louis Theroux's Most Hated Family in America? And they have that West
Yes,
something Baptist
I watched
church.
that one.
Yeah, so basically, not necessarily that church, but Club Earth has become, like, it had a massive banner along the side that was like some new age church group. And like, that's now their meeting place and like their their venue. And I just find it hilarious because I'm like, oh my god, if these walls could talk, there's so much sin in this building.
Sure, that's so ironic.
I'm like, the things it's seen.
It's funny, I know, like, my sister lives kind of southeast England in down Surrey way. And there's a part of Surrey that has the highest Scientology network. And also, I want to say, like, Surrey is incredibly wealthy. It's like,
so
it's
weird.
Surrey is where people go to have families where they can also still commute into London. So they have, like, London salaries, but, like, are living, like, a kind of a country life. Yeah. And it's just,
big
like,
houses.
Yeah, crazy.
That's so strange, because I feel like unless you seek this stuff out, it's not as widely marketed in the UK, if that makes sense. So like I fully associate Scientology with like America and like the famous people like Tom Cruise and stuff. Like I would never really identify it in the UK.
But yeah, I guess I don't know how they do their marketing. Oh no, I think I do know. Oh my god. Yeah, I was in
so
London.
Excited.
I am in London right now, been here for a year and a half.
I was in London.
I think last year, and I was like walking to the Tate Museum, and someone gave me this leaflet that had nothing on it, just a QR code, and I was like, ooh, interesting. I scanned it, and it was a link to a Scientology page, and I was like, well, there you go.
I wonder why they market it so mysteriously, like to put just a QR code so it's like curiosity, but they don't open the safe. Yeah, Scientology. I guess
maybe it's because they just think people will just like poo-poo it, but
yeah, give them hate on the street.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Isn't there another Louis Theroux on that? Yeah, there is. Oh
God. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
love that guy. I wish he had a new series. I could do with some lockdown viewing.
I'm sure he's got the cogs turning. So, so kind of like back to our original kind of point, which was that according to Forbes, there's been a 136% increase in supernatural consumerism and consumption, and that in the last 2 and a bit years, there's been like a 52% increase in the industry as a whole, which is massive. Like, do you think this is just like a boom, like a blip? This boom is a blip, or do you think that like this is going to become like a new, really kind of a strong faith that maybe is kind of equal to some of the other faiths that we have out there?
I wouldn't actually be surprised if this continues for like a while, because I do think, especially now, like when we all deal with the repercussions of this like pandemic, I do think you are going to have younger generations that maybe do feel a bit lost and feel a bit displaced, and I think this sort of stuff they are going to dive into and maybe become like a little bit obsessed with. So I guess we'll see. I think it might tail off eventually, but I think it will keep picking up for the time being.
I think like I was reading like an article at some point trying to find out what are like the attributes that make the happiest people, just out of interest. And there was like a number of attributes, but I remember one of them, they talked about having like a surrender attitude, which was that they said, for example, that if you were, you spent your whole life like teeing up to be a ballet dancer, it's all you wanted to do, and then you broke your leg and you were never able to return to ballet dancing, the person who is the happiest would have a surrender attitude, which meant that they would just see like, oh, this route obviously wasn't meant for me, and then they would continue down another route. And then I kind of like,
it's like acceptance, and then I kind like of, move kind forward of took that
to be like also
okay
a faith and like a path that's meant for you, and therefore if you believe that what is for you won't go by you, if you believe that there is like something, stuff that's meant for you, then you do believe in like some sort of higher power, really. It's like a faith, I think.
I think definitely it's like it's a faith. So basically you think everything that happens is meant to happen, but it's all going to work out okay, whereas I think people get into real dilemmas, I think, when they think everything's kind of ruined and they're not going to have these things and their expectations aren't met. But if you have a constant view of like, well, that was fine, but this is all still going to go okay, I've had this bad thing, but it's okay because this better situation is meant for me and what's coming, that's always a super positive way to look at it. So I do understand, it's again where like religion plays in, where I'm like, people have faith in something higher, therefore they don't feel as defeated, or like they don't feel as, they feel like there's always something there supporting them. Yeah, if that makes sense.
I do kind of feel that there's obviously a lack of faith now, like people, like they're still religions are still like vibing, people are still
extremely
subscribing to them, but there's definitely a reduction in people who are religious, and with that comes a lack of faith, a lack of purpose. Perhaps actually is that's that even more so than like the how technology connected the Gen Z and stuff are, that is making them, you know, so sad and stuff, and then, you know, making them turn to this new way of like this new faith, basically. It's kind of like made a bit more palatable, and you know, it's more anyway, so I'm kind of like, I do think like the boom that's associated with the worry and the uncertainty to do with coronavirus will like maybe disappear, but I do think that like it's on the rise, like spirituality as like a faith that could one day like rival all the others that we have. Another just quick point, I was wanted to bring up was that I was recently Googling to see when the fuck this Roaring Twenties 2.0 is going to happen, because everyone's been saying that following like the pandemics, there's always like a Roaring Twenties. And then I read this article that is by this epidemiologist. It's called Nicholas Pristakis. Again, not one for the surnames. He wrote this book called like The Profound and Enduring Impact of Coronavirus on the Way We Live. And he basically said that during epidemics, you get increases in religiosity, people becoming more absentious, they save money, they get risk averse. And we're seeing that all of just now, just as we have for every other epidemic. But then once pandemics end, there is a period in which people seek out extensive social interaction. And he predicts there will be a second Roaring Twenties. And he says he's actually predicted it to be like in full force in 2024, which is a bit depressing, but like that's full force. Yeah. But he says lays out is one filled with experiences pined for in isolation, packed stadiums, crowded nightclubs, and flourishing arts. People relentlessly seek out social interaction. Could include sexual licentious. Okay, I don't even know what that word is. Basically, having the sex, liberal spending, and key here, a reverse of religiosity. So from that kind of statement, I kind of thought that perhaps the spike that we're seeing that's directly attributed to coronavirus might like fall, but yeah, we're too might busy like off banging, partying to care about like star signs.
Yeah, basically all I've taken from that statement is that in 2024 I'll be too fucking old to show my face in a club because I'm 30.
Yeah.
I'm 30 in like 2 months. I was like, oh, I've gone into this being reasonably acceptable, coming out of it absolutely not, grey-haired on the dance floor. And then the second one is, given that I'm approaching 30 and I'm currently single, now equally in my head I'm like, do I want to get into a relationship before all the banging starts? No, because that this sounds like that might be more interesting.
Having kids and getting married, and I know that's totally normal. Yeah, but
I'm like, now I don't want to miss out on this. I don't want to miss out on this like 70s.
I've seen a lot of people like having kids and getting married recently, and to an extent, I'm sure that's normal. Like, I'm 30 years old, but I do feel there was maybe a little bit of an uptick because people are kind of like nesting and at home more. And I'm just kind of like, if you were kind of on the fence, like, hold on, 2024 is going to be lit. Okay, thanks, guys. That's us wrapped for another week.
Hope you enjoyed. Time flies.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what your guys' takes are on spirituality. Or I guess we talked about some other things there, like zombieing. Do you have any stories of people coming back from the dead? Let us know.
Is this a new term that we're coining now, zombieing?
Yeah. No, I think it's a thing. I think it's a thing that someone who's older than us tried to make a thing, and it's never taken off. But I like read it once in a magazine,
and I was never bring it back.
Yeah, I understand why they say it, but. Yeah, we've just started a new Instagram that's @2scottishbirds_podcast. So if you're listening to this and you have a cracking example, please feel free to send it in, and then we can kind of weave that into a future episode.
Definitely. But yes, fun as always.
Okay, thanks guys. Chat to you later.
Bye.